You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
That's the quote we need to pull from this episode is Taylor Swift will fail you. I think that, I don't know if that's any...
if that has not been evident this week as Ticketmaster crumbled to the ground.
Wow. Like, what you love about this is actually him. There are some good desires in that that ultimately will be fulfilled in him and not in a TV show or riding horses or whatever it could be. Life is going to throw unexpected things at us. And if we think that worshiping God, praising him, believing in him happens when everything works out our way, or it feels good, or it makes sense to us, like, we're just not going to last.
Hey, this is Adam Griffin. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Cassie Bryant. Cassie, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
Great. Looks like you got some sunshine in the room with you today.
There's a window open, or the blinds are open. It's a little cold for the window to be open.
Yeah, it is a little cold. Speaking of a little bit cold, only in the temperature sense, warm-hearted, but cold this season. My wife, Chelsea Griffin, is with us too. Chelsea, how are you doing today?
I'm okay, but we've entered into the season where I could always be 20 to 30% better if it was 90 degrees outside.
We are so different, Chelsea, in all the good ways. We compliment each other.
It's good to be different. Good to be different.
It is good to be different. I love cold weather.
Well, I'm sure that I have an undiagnosed illness of some kind. I'm so cold that there's no way this is not pathologic, but there's been no cure presented. So
I think there's a couple cures. It's just like microwavable slippers are one of the cures presented, I think. That's one of them. Speaking of warm-heartedness, guys, we have a special guest with us today. Miss Lauren Chandler is with us. Yay! Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Hey, guys. Chelsea, I love that you're like totally bundled up. You've got like... three layers, at least, that I can see. So who knows what's underneath there? Four layers? Oh, my gosh.
And hand warmers inside our house.
What do you have your temperature set to?
Whatever it is, it's not high enough. Yeah. I want it to be like a dry sauna in my whole house.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is why y'all got the hot tub, right?
Uh-huh. Hot tub.
Yeah, this is part of why you got
I give Chelsea a lot of heat-themed gifts. We've gotten a gas fireplace, a hot tub. We actually she does have her own personal sauna in the house. Have we talked about that on the podcast before?
I don't think so. Probably not. That's brand new information for me.
We need to put a link in the show notes. It's the most Sky Mall looking item that you could ever buy. It's like a cloth box and my head sticks out of it. But it gets to be 140 degrees and it's awesome.
Don't give too much away because they might become an ad for us if we do this right.
Oh, let's do it. Oh, yeah.
We can maybe get
we could do a Christmas gift list for the Family Discipleship Podcast that includes all of Chelsea's heat-related theme gifts. All right. Well, Lauren, I'm so excited you're here. Lauren, I don't know. You will not remember this, but I remember the first time we met. Now, Cassie, you and Lauren have known each other for a long time. Cassie, do you remember the first time you met Lauren Chandler?
I do. It was at a summer camp when you and Matt were engaged.
Oh.
Yes.
In Florida. With Jerry Royal and Mary.
Yes.
A long time ago. Probably summer of 2001 or 2002.
Yes. I think I have a picture of us, Matt and me at that camp. And I mean, I look like a baby.
You were a baby.
Probably. I think I was probably 19, maybe.
It's like you were Audrey's age, right?
Audrey's about to turn 20. In fact, I was married at the time, like at her age right now. I was already married.
Wow.
It's wild.
That is wild.
It's wild.
Well, Lauren, I remember the first time you and I met. You will not remember this because to you it probably was nothing, but to me it was significant because it was so bizarre. I was living in Flower Mound. I was a single guy at the time, and I went out to Potbelly's for lunch, and you and Matt were there. It was a Friday, so I bet we all had the day off. You and Matt were there, and I just said hi, like a normal person says hi. You know, Matt and I knew each other. And then right after Potbelly's, I went across from Potbelly's to the AMC theater to watch a movie by myself because I was a single dude. And you and Matt walked into the exact same movie theater and sat right behind me. Is there any way you remember this?
I actually do remember that. Did we bring our potbelly into the AMC? Because I feel like that's what we used to do.
I wouldn't call out on the air. I wouldn't record any of the law breaking that I saw the Chandlers do that day. But I just remember feeling like it was so, and Matt and I had seen each other at the gym that morning as well. So it was like every place I went, I saw Matt. And I felt so awkward being alone in a movie theater. And then here comes two people I just saw a minute ago. And like, oh, hey, guys. Anyway,
it wasn't awkward at all.
That's what happened in Flower Mound in the early aughts, because there was restaurant, one theater, one gym. So it was a very small town.
It almost sounded like biblical, like you were about to go one faith, one baptism, one God in Flower Mound.
I wish. That would have been more edifying for all of us.
Okay, speaking of biblical, for those people who haven't met Lauren yet, we're so excited for you to meet her digitally here on the podcast, but also to hear a little bit about some of the work she's been putting in. Before we get into kind of the topic and the work you've been doing, would you mind just introducing yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about your ministry and about your family.
Yeah, so I'm Lauren Chandler. I'm married to Matt Chandler. He's the pastor of the Village Church in Flower Mound, Texas. We've been married 23 years. Like I said, I was 19 when we got married. He was older. He's like kind of a little scandalously older. He was 25, but it all worked out. We've been together for 23 years, and we have three wonderful children, Audrey, Reed, and Nora. Audrey's about turned 20. Reed just turned 17, and our youngest, Nora, is 13, and we've been at the Village for actually yesterday was 20 years since he preached in View of a Call. I know.
20 years.
So that's amazing.
20 years. And so I'm a worship leader. I've written Bible studies. I've written a trade book. And then I write children's books. Also like to write songs. So I wear lots of different hats. I love being outside. I love nature. I love beauty. I love the sky. And I love birds. I'm like an amateur bird watcher. That's my little known fact.
Is there a bird that you haven't seen yet that you would really like to see one day?
I really want to see. I've seen it. I saw it Winter Storm Uri. Do you remember? In 2021. Did you know it had a name?
Oh, like Snowmageddon?
No, I guess I didn't know it had a name.
Snowmageddon. It was Uri. U-R-I. I found this out. I also like meteorology too, you know. So I'm kind of a nerd. But the cedar waxwings, I've seen them. I saw them that winter, and I didn't see them last winter, and I'm really hoping to see them again. They're really cool looking. Okay. They look like they have a mask. So I'd love to see one again here.
So little known fact. One, I don't want to double down on nerddom here, and there's not a bird watching podcast, but I also enjoy birds. Chelsea could tell you.
Yeah.
Is Chelsea awake?
Cedar waxwings. cedar waxwings will eat these berries off these trees, and they get kind of drunk.
Yes.
And they will fly into your windows because they are literally, they're hammered, these birds.
Yes.
Anyway, but they're beautiful. They're beautiful. I'm not against
them. What is this podcast right now? I did just listen to a This American Life podcast about bird watching, and it was fascinating.
I need to listen.
I'm not introverted enough for that. So I don't think I would need to be doing it with a big group of people.
Chelsea's sitting next to our bird feeder while she's recording. I couldn't handle that because I'd be too distracted. But.
Totally.
All right. Back to the top of the hour. You did mention the children's books. You've written a couple already. What compelled you to write books for children? Why was that part of your ministry?
To be really honest, the publisher came to me and said, we'd like for you to consider writing a children's book. And that was about the only thing I would even consider at that moment. I'd just finished a couple of other projects, and I knew I had this meeting with this publisher, and I was like, I don't feel like writing anything. And if I was going to write anything, it'd be a children's book. And so that's what they asked me to write. And he asked me different questions about what I would want to write about. And in particular, Matt went through, he had a brain tumor. And so our whole family went through this season of walking through cancer and treatment and all that. And he's fine now. Well, praise God. But they're like, were there any stories that you used with your kids? And honestly, I couldn't think of anything. We were just trying to do life, just went from one day to the next. But I remember the story of Lazarus ministering to me in John 11, where Jesus wept with Mary and Martha. Like, he didn't rush through their grief or pain, but he entered into it with them. And that was so comforting, because I think a lot of times we can put spiritual band-aids, you know, like, well, you know, God's got this, just trust him, have faith. And really what he wants to do is be in relationship with us. And Jesus, like, we see that in him entering into Mary and Martha's grief. And so I was like, well, I'd love to write a story about Lazarus. And so that book is called Goodbye to Goodbyes. And I didn't know when I wrote that, that it would be like this kind of grief book for kids. I didn't know, but that's kind of what it ended up being. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, I think that's how the Lord works. Like, if you're just sensitive to where he's leading you, you're not even going to know all the impact that whatever your yes has, you know, but it's just doing it, because I don't think I would have ever imagined if I'd set out, I want to write a grief book for kids. I don't know what I would have written, but the Lord had that in mind. And I was just obedient to, okay, I'm going to write about Lazarus, how this story impacted me and as an overflow impacted my kids. And then he brought Goodbye to Goodbyes about, and just super grateful. And I get lots of stories from people of how that book has helped them get through grief with their kids, and how that book, as they're reading it to their kids, are being ministered to also. And that's what I want. Like, I want to write a children's book that ministers not just to the kids, but to the adult who's reading it to them. And so that's how I kind of stumbled into writing children's books.
We're so grateful for it. We've definitely given it to people who are experiencing grief and who have other kids and maybe have lost a child. It's been a blessing. So I'm grateful for your work there.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
I love your new book. It so reflects who you are as a worshiper. I just think it's so beautifully written, and it's such a great primer for little bitties about us being made to worship him in all circumstances. Would you mind reading it to us, since it's a shorter book?
Not at all. I would love to.
Thanks.
Okay. Here's Praise Him. Praise Him with the sunrise when the day begins to dawn. Praise Him with the singing birds and with your own sweet song. Praise Him when your eyes can see God's goodness all around and marvel at His blessings from the sky down to the ground. Praise Him as you wind your way from here to there, and then praise Him when the days are bright and filled with fun and friends. Praise Him when the days are dark and tired and sad and slow. Praise Him that He's always there through each day's highs and lows. Praise Him as you head to bed and turn off all the lights. Don't forget He's there with you when shadows dance at night. Praise Him that the nighttime is as bright as day to Him. Praise Him that He keeps you safe and sound and all tucked in. And if it's hard to see a way to lift your voice in praise, remember this, a simple song that gives you words to raise. Praise the Lord, O my soul, with all my soul, praise the Lord. Through the day and through the night, O my soul, praise the Lord. That's it.
That's beautiful.
That was so lovely.
Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah.
You know, Lauren, it's been about 13 years since Matt got sick. And I remember the staff meeting where he and Brian shared the diagnosis. And then we all gathered around and we prayed. And it was in the middle of that prayer that you just started singing. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember what the song it was. But in that moment, God used it to teach me. I didn't even know it was possible to sing in the state that you must have been in of shock and grief and fear and trust. And then I remember God teaching me also just hey, it's because they're prepared to suffer. They were prepared. It's not unexpected. They're not God had done a work of preparation in you. But I would love to hear more about the journey, about your personal journey with learning to praise Him in all circumstances.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is like the Lord preparing you. And you don't even know what He's preparing you for sometimes. And honestly, I think a lot of my preparation had to do with the gift of singing. As a worship leader, you know, your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness, that your kind of the shadow side of you is also closely attached to the kind of the gold side of you, the things that God's put in you to share with others for his glory and your joy. And one of those for me has been leading worship and music and singing, where I had a lot of my identity wrapped into it and a lot of frustration because I wasn't satisfied when I wasn't singing, and then I wasn't satisfied when I was singing because I didn't like what I heard. I just really struggled with perfectionism. And it was like the Lord, like, just really doing a painful work of tearing out the weeds of that and keeping what was he wanted to cultivate in my heart. It was a painful process, but it was so good because my identity was, he was trying to get me to not have my identity in leading worship, but my identity would be rooted in him. And so he was trying to uproot these other parts of me and say, okay, no, root here in me, because otherwise you're not going to make it. And it was that journey of like praising him, even when it was painful, praising him when I didn't really understand, praising him when I knew the words were right, I wanted them to be right, but my heart was slow to catch up, you know? And so at praising him and asking him for the faith and for his grace to fill that gap between what I was feeling, what I knew to be true.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of that started there. And then there are just other, you know, opportunities to praise him in hard times, with a miscarriage, with just different things in our lives not turning out the way I wanted them to do, but still coming back to the fact that he's good. And my praise is just a response to his character, that he is good, that I'm like, I believe that you are good, and I'm going to praise you for what I know to be true, and my heart will catch up. It will catch up, but also not like, not discounting what my heart was feeling. So even like in the book, when the days are tired and sad and slow, you know, like acknowledging, yeah, this stinks. I don't like this part of what's happening. I am struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with disappointment, but I know you're still good. And I know you still love me. And I know you still have something for me. And so that's part of, there's so many pieces that have like gone into this journey of learning to praise him no matter what. But a lot of it stemmed from just that search for identity and finding it in the wrong things. And the Lord just being relentless, like not letting me settle there, you know, because I think sometimes he lets people do that. For whatever reason, he did not let me. He did not let me stay there or find any kind of like contentment there. He just was like, no, I'm not letting you.
That's good.
But I'm so grateful. It was his love towards me in that.
I love that.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks just for your personal vulnerability and just sharing what was going on in your own heart.
Right.
Yeah.
You may know that our podcast here is really focused. It's not a parenting podcast. It's a discipleship podcast. So we're really focused on leading our homes, leading our children spiritually. Can you talk about why this is, what the concept you're talking about, learning to praise God at all times, why that's not just an adult discipline? That's why do we need to model this for our children?
Because life is going to throw unexpected things at us. And if we think that worshiping God, praising him, believing in him happens when everything works out our way, or it feels good, or it makes sense to us, like, we're just not going to last. We are going to be uprooted. We are going to, we're going to blow away. There's no root in us if we think the only reason we praise God or worship him is when he makes sense to us or does the things that we want him to do. And also that the reality that sometimes the things that happen that aren't what we want, God is up to something good in that. He's doing something.
Right.
And that we can trust his heart. We can trust that he is for our good. And ultimately, we see that in Christ. We see it in his life. We see it in his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the promise of him returning. Like, that's ultimately what we can point to say, see, he loves us and he has something good, because man, that didn't look good. That didn't look like it was going to work out. But it did. And we have hope that for our lives too. And if we praise helps us to lift our eyes up to him, to look for him, to look for his character, for look for glimpses of, okay, he's there. He's going to come through. I can trust him. And so I think that's so important for our kids to get at the very beginning, because life is not going to go according to our plan. There are going to be things thrown at us, things that happen that the enemy wants to totally uproot us and steal joy and steal intimacy with God. And so this is just a reminder to kids as they grow that he's there, look for him, and then like praise him for it, acknowledge those things. Like the very end of praise him, kind of when you can't think of words to raise, it's like, praise the Lord, oh my soul. We see in the Psalms over and over, David and the other psalmists telling their souls to praise God, you know, because we need to like tell ourselves sometimes to remind ourselves, praise him. We're not going to make it unless you praise him. Like our faith is strengthened when we praise him. And so don't forget to praise him through the day, through the night, all of it, with every beat of your heart, praise him. And that's even where this book came from, was a song that I wrote that I wanted my kids to have. And they were older, you know, they were like probably 9 and up at this point. But that's what I wanted, was something for them to take with them to remember as they get older, as they go through every season of life, kind of the mornings of life where everything looks bright and wonderful and great. The midday of life where, you know, you're just trudging through the day to day, or kind of the evening of life where, okay, things are starting to shut down, and the nights of life where things are scary, just that this reminder to praise him through it all, because that centers our heart on who he is, and it gets us to look for him, and it like strengthens our souls.
Hey listeners, we live in a world where anxiety, depression, and weariness seem to be the basic descriptors of our lives. For many of us, our calendars and our plates are overfull, yet our lives still lack joy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus invites you to have true and abundant joy that's only found in him. In John 15, Jesus reveals 3 very surprising pathways to finding this type of joy. You can discover these pathways in the new book, Overflowing Joy, by author and Bible teacher Tara Dew. This is available at lifeway.com, and you can save 40% off with the code JOY40. Again, that's J-O-Y, 4, 0, at lifeway.com. The new book is Overflowing Joy by Tara Dew. Check it out. Hey listeners, this episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast is brought to you by Crossway. They're publishing a brand new resource you have got to check out. It's New Morning Mercies for Teens, a daily gospel devotional by Paul David Tripp. This encouraging book features 366 engaging daily devotionals. They're all adapted for teenagers. Each day includes a one-sentence gospel-centered reading and an extended meditation, Bible verses, and a prompt for discussion or for personal reflection, which means they can do it on their own or with you. So pick up a copy of New Morning Mercies for Teens wherever books are sold, or you can visit crossway.org/plus to find out how you can get 30% off with a Crossway Plus account. Listeners, we love Crossway. We love Paul David Tripp. We love New Morning Mercies, and we're so pumped for New Morning Mercies for Teens. Check it out today at crossway.org.
Well, besides writing a song and writing a book, what are some practical ways you guys have modeled this for your kids?
I'll be honest, as a pastor's family, we have tried to do like devotionals as a family. We were hit or miss on that. But I think the most consistent thing we've done is, as parents, like had a living, thriving relationship with Jesus, and that our kids see us sitting at our kitchen island every morning with our Bibles open, with our journals, like seeking the Lord. And like making them go to church with us, you know, and not just because they're the pastor's kids and not just because it's expected, but because we're saying this is important, having them serve at church, being involved at church, like being in the family of faith and having other people teaching them and modeling to them what we want for their lives. And so those are the ways we've done it. I wish I could say this was the devotional plan that we had and this is what family dinners, like I wish, but I think Matt and I are a little too, like probably have too much ADHD where we get on something and we're like, we start, we're like, we're going to do this. We got this. And then it fizzles out.
I think so we're all just relieved that that's your reality. Okay, and it's not like.
it is just like, yes, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to have conversations along the way, but like the most impact I think that we have is us having a thriving, intimate relationship with God and them seeing that and them seeing the consistency of our inconsistency, the consistency of some days we hit it out of the park and some days we don't and we own up to it and we bring them back to Jesus and what the gospel is all about.
Yeah. I think you're selling yourself short on how much you guys have modeled this. I think there is, we talked a lot about already when things have been hard and your family has faced really hard circumstances and you guys have still remained faithful to the Lord. Your kids have seen that. In addition to that, Lauren, just the regular weekend where you just go, hey, we're going to go to church because we go to church and you're praising God. That's what we're doing. We're attributing to God his worth by saying he gets our whole lives. And you, and also, I wouldn't minimize being a pastor's family. Like you and Matt have ministered to so many people and invited your kids into seeing like our whole lives are dedicated to God, which means our family is going to sacrifice in order to do it. You're going to face, you certainly faced hardships, not just because of health, but also because of the prominence with which the Lord has given you, the platform he's given you. You guys have faced a lot of criticism. And in that also received a lot of encouragement. So I know like praise him, not just about like the darkest times praising him, but also you guys have been great in the delightful times, in the beautiful times, in the ordinary times. How are we praising God in the midst of that? Now, I know because I'm a parent and I assume because your kids are regular old kids just like mine are, there's also been times probably where you've had to address your kids praising things that are not God, seeking maybe what we would call idolatry, where they are seeking to be made much of when you would call them to make much of God, or maybe to have something else become the center of the life instead of God being the center of the life, which the concept of praise him is so good in recentering, in bringing you back to the reality that like anything good comes from God. But I'm wondering, anything come to mind for you when you think about redirecting your kids' hearts towards God as opposed to either themselves or something that is not God? What comes to mind for you for that?
Usually just what my kids are interested in. I mean, it can definitely be all consuming for one of my kids in particular. And I will not throw that kid under the bus by naming that kid or even using a pronoun. So, but like I had one kid who, I don't know, listeners, just give me a lot of grace. Okay. This kid loved Stranger Things. Okay. And the TV show Stranger Things on Netflix. And so, but what was cool is like, I found some redemptive themes. I was like, I'd have asked this kid, what do you love about this show? And this kid would talk about the friendships and the adventure and kind of the otherworldliness. And I was like, I would draw parallels to, you know what, because God made you for community. God made you to want friends and to have people that know you and you're in this together. He made you for adventure, that there are some things that God has invited you into an adventure. And otherworldly speaks for itself. Like there are supernatural realities to life that we don't see with our eyes, but they're there and we can tune into that. And so I've used opportunities to whatever that was to like see the Lord. Another kid, my oldest, her interest in horses and kind of using that quote from Chariots of Fire where he talks about running, he feels the pleasure of God. I was like, you feel the pleasure of God when you're on the back of that horse. And that is a gift God's given you. So that whatever that, I think I've just learned that I know with me, the more you try to like, oh, that's bad, don't do that, it either like brings more shame or it brings some allure to it. Like, ooh, that's bad. That's interesting, you know? But to say, okay, let's be just kind of measured about it. Let's, you know, not like get obsessed, but let's look beyond. What are the things that I see that you're drawn to? They're actually Jesus. Like, it's actually really him. Like, what you love about this is actually him. And so that's kind of how I've tried to help my kids look beyond whatever that is and see that there are some good desires in that that ultimately will be fulfilled in him and not in a TV show or riding horses or whatever it could be.
But I love that concept of saying, what do my kids love? And then how do I use that to help them understand worship? You know, if your kid loves riding horses, you're going, okay, let's remember, like, this is not just about the horses. There's something That's appealing about this that is a gift from God. And while I've never seen Stranger Things because I'm a Christian, I do imagine
Stop. Well, as a Christian, we love Stranger Things. So we love it.
Good redemptive themes. I mean, it's real creepy and gory.
I've seen every episode. I'm just kidding.
Okay, good.
And I think there's a lot of like conquering evil and fighting evil. I'm for that. Sure. I'm going to fight evil. And it, like many things, you have to always, I think measured is the right word, Lauren, to go like, hey, this is not wholesale. Like Stranger Things is not going to define what we believe. It is a cultural phenomenon, like many others, other shows that in which there may be something redemptive, but there are some things in it that are still inexcusably ungodly. And so how do we address that and prepare our kids to face those things well? And anyway, so I appreciate that idea you're giving us though, of like in the darkest times, how do we teach kids to praise him? In the midst of what they love, how do we remind them of redirecting their gratitude and their worship towards the God who gave it to them? And even in things that maybe we would look at and go, that actually doesn't honor the Lord in its purpose, but there's something in it that reminds us of what God has for you and what he's made for you. That's all beautiful. That's why we're grateful for the work you're putting in.
Yeah, that we're made to worship. And so you see that when they're little bitty and they start worshiping other, whatever it is, butterflies or, you know, all the way to Taylor Swift, if that's what, you know, your teenager's into. And it's like that you were made to do that. You were made to like be drawn to something greater than you. And it, like what happens if that terminates on, you know, a butterfly, it dies. Butterflies are created, you know, if it terminates on Taylor Swift, well, she will fail you. She's like not God. She's not Jesus. So I love that because it's like, it points to that thing that's like, there's something in you that wants to worship something greater than you. And you're going to direct that to other things, but then we're going to try and redirect that to who is behind even those things that's better than those things.
That's right.
That's the quote we need to pull from this episode is Taylor Swift will fail you. I think that, I don't know if that's any.
If that has not been evident this week as Ticketmaster crumbled to the ground. Like,
wow. She broke it. Man. She broke it.
She did break it. She knows what she's doing. That's for sure.
Well, Lauren, I'm so grateful for the work you've put in on this kid's book. Yeah. I hope family's going to check it out. But before we let you go, one of our favorite things to do is give a gift back to the people that we have on as guests by inviting our listeners to pray for them. As you think about how our listeners can pray for Lauren and for the Chandler family, what are some of the ways that we can go to God on your behalf?
You know, we're in the midst of another difficult season. And so we would just love prayers for, I think, just protection of our hearts. It can be a real mean world out there that think they know everything about everything and they actually don't. And so just prayers for protecting our hearts against just not nice comments. And I think that's at the forefront right now because it's what's right there. And, you know, my kids they see things and they hear things. And so just prayers for that. Yeah. And our church is honoring our Matt and our family for 20 years at the Village. And so just that my kids would feel honored and loved. Yeah. And they have done such a good job. The church has done such a good job because it's not just Matt who's been, you know, at the Village for 20 years, but it's been our whole family who's had to pay different prices for that. And so, and sacrificed for him or for the church and sacrificed him sometimes. And so I think prayers for that we would just love.
Well, I appreciate that vulnerability too, Lauren. I'm honored to pray for you in that. I know Chelsea and I have been praying for you guys and are so committed to seeing the Lord work restoration in relationships that are strained. And, and I'm so grateful for you. I can't imagine what it's like to parent teenagers through what you guys are dealing with right now when it comes to public trust and public comments. And this is a, this culture that we're in right now is straight up cruel with assuming to your detriment. And when you are put forward as a man of God and a woman of God, there is no limit to how many people would love to see you fall. And so I'm so grateful for you and grateful for you parenting faithfully through that. Thank you so much for the time today, Lauren. Thanks for the conversation.
We love you. Thanks for having me.
Well, listeners, thank you so much for joining us again today. If you think it is as important as we do to disciple your family, please give us a five-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, visit one of our sponsors, share this episode with one of your friends. And if you want to keep up with us and join the conversation, you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners. We're looking forward to all God has for us the rest of this year and into the next. We will see you next week.